A little while back, we covered the story for you when the University of Michigan's Board of Regents, in a very sudden vote without any real examination of the issue, voted 6-2 over the objections of the president of the school, Mary Sue Coleman, over almost all the deans of the school as well. They voted 6-2 to allow graduate students at the university to become members of a union that's affiliated with the AFT, the American Federation of Teachers. There has been a hue and cry on campus internally about this ever since. And now there is a challenge to this unionization of the employees. It should come as no surprise that the legal challenge is being carried out by the Mackinac Center for Public Policy and its legal foundation director, Patrick Wright, who did the same thing, challenging the legality of what happened in the past when it came to home daycare workers, when they were unionized in a stealth fashion and had their union dues just subtracted from their paychecks to make things easy, and the state just sent million-dollar checks to the labor unions. Well, now Patrick has filed a challenge with the Michigan Employment Relations Commission, and he's here to explain it to us this morning along with his client. Patrick, first of all, good morning to you.
Morning, Frank. How are you?
Yeah, very well. And your client is a graduate research assistant at U of M's Molecular, Cellular, and Developmental Biology Department. She's originally from Arizona, Melinda Day. Melinda, good morning.
Good morning.
Patrick, let's start with you and why you went to the MERC with this this complaint.
Well, sure. What we would like to have happen, Frank, is that Melinda is not an employee. She's a student. She's somebody who's going after her degree requirements, and she's receiving a stipend to allow her to live during the 5 to 6 years that she's doing that. And the Merck in 1981, faced with a petition from the exact same union, with the exact same university, over the exact same group of employees, after 19 days of hearings, thousands of pages of exhibits, and hundreds of pages of briefs, determined that graduate student research assistants like Melinda are not public employees. And all we're asking is that that law, which is the law of this state, be respected.
Mm-hmm. Why do it through the MERC and not the courts, though?
Well, we had an opportunity, unlike the daycare cases you were just discussing, when Sherry Lohr got stuck in this, they had a vote, and people took the vote, and we've had to come in and challenge it. We were hoping to come in beforehand and tell Merck, look, these people aren't public employees, just as you should have in the daycare case. You should have stopped and said, are these people within our jurisdiction? We're asking them to do that right now, to make that determination, and if they make the wrong determination, then we'll go, we have an appeal that we can take to the Michigan Court of Appeals, and eventually, if we need to the Michigan Supreme Court.
Mm-hmm. Melinda, let's get your story on all of this. First of all, your thoughts on being involved in the challenge itself. What made you decide to take the step?
Ultimately, it was the Board of Regents vote. Afterwards, I just felt betrayed because they're here to protect the student and provide the best educational experience possible at the university, and they neglected their duty in that regard, and I felt completely betrayed by them in that vote, and I felt that there was really no other option for me but to seek legal help.
How does this change what you consider the best educational experience possible for you?
It inserts a third party into what I believe is a sacred relationship between myself and a mentor. And it completely distorts how we would interact with one another. And it's very important to have a completely open and respectful relationship between one another. And by inserting a third party into that, you completely destroy the dynamics.
Well, how does it change? Explain the relationship for those of us who have never been and will never be a graduate student in important educational fields like this.
Basically, my mentor is there to teach me how to become an independent researcher. And that takes a lot of time and flexibility and effort and open communication between the two of us. If you were to unionize us, we'd have regulations imposed on us that would prevent us from being able to have that time and flexibility and open relationship. And it really is the mentor then would become cautious and weary about what the union would do if he provided feedback to you that would be maybe negative in a light. There would be a lot of caution that would be inputted into this relationship that would just hinder the ability of me to learn from my mentor.
Okay,
Frank, she she told a great story this morning about a race to publish a research paper and how a union might interfere with that. And I think that probably worthwhile.
I appreciate you sharing that, Melinda.
Okay. Basically, I was in a research race with another lab in this country to get data published. And once data is published, you can't republish it elsewhere. And I was in this race, and I had to put in 60, 70 hours a week to be able to get the data done to complete this paper so that I could publish it. And it was published, fortunately, and I was able to win what I like to call the data race, and was able to then therefore get the first chapter of my dissertation. But if I hadn't been able to do that, and if I had to been forced to follow the work regulations that the GEO requires of graduate student instructors, I wouldn't have been able to put that time in. I would have wasted 6 months of my education on something that would have provided no benefit to me.
Yeah. Now let me play devil's advocate here for a moment and take the side of the union, which is going to argue, look, we're doing this for you. This is going to help you. You're going to get a bigger stipend out of this. You'll have you'll be required to spend less time in the research projects. You're still going to get done with all of your work eventually, but this is going to benefit you. There are plenty of benefits for you in all of this.
I would tell them actually they're wrong. Currently, our stipends are set by the federal government and the federal granting agency, and our stipend is set at a higher rate than the current GEO's contract, which means any negotiation they do will have no effect on our stipend whatsoever. In addition, saying that we can work fewer hours, well, that's not a realistic possibility in the sciences. The sciences require flexibility in timing and schedules. In some weeks, you have to put in 60, 70 hours. Other weeks, you might not need to be in the lab that much because of just the way the experiments are going. And to say that they can then do all this for us is actually misleading at best.
Patrick, when do you expect to get a hearing before the MERC? Is that what happens next?
Yeah, that's what we're expecting to happen. We'll see what the union responds and how that will probably shape what goes on from here. But what we're saying to Merck is you have made a determination in 1981. You held these people weren't public employees. You only have jurisdictional public employees. So there is really nothing to do here unless that ruling gets changed some way, shape, or form. So if the union wants to fight the 19 days of hearings and thousands of pages of exhibits, then that is their duty to do so.
All right, I'm sure we'll be covering this as it progresses, just like the last time, Patrick. It's like deja vu all over again.
Yeah, there are some similarities, Frank.
Indeed. We'll talk to you again down the road. Melinda, good luck to you in your studies, in your research, and in the case.
Thank you.
Good to talk with you both here on the Frank Beckman Show on WJR.